No clouds in the studio, that's for sure.
Mm.
Now that we've got Marco in
just
here.
Just the news.
Yeah, which is, well, yeah, yeah, it's kind of gray.
The news is a little cloudy,
yeah,
for sure.
I'm the cloudy guy.
You know what? Anytime we're bringing Marco in, know. You know there's been trouble.
There's been trouble.
Or there's trouble around the corner.
Right.
Right.
Potentially.
Hey, look, if there's trouble, Marco's guy you're going to want to be yeah. having your corner.
Yeah.
And that's 100% true. I mean, here we are again, another example of, well, they're calling it workplace violence.
Sure.
We had actually two stories yesterday, one being the cabinet manufacturer.
Down in Texas, yeah.
So we have that story, and then we have the story of a doctor who was, I guess, essentially was like a home invasion kind of thing.
Yeah, and that was also workplace violence because the guy doing the AC repair was there working. So that's going to be considered for him as workplace violence.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine you're just going to work on somebody's AC?
Business.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And it's just a really sad, sad turn of events.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are again. Which one do you want to take on first?
The doctor's home.
You know, okay.
I haven't heard much about that, but that's going to be curious as to was he treating this NFL player? What's the relationship there? Why was that right. house picked?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of security did they have at the house? Did he force entry, or did he? Hey, I want to stop by and talk to you. And then, you know, there's a lot of dynamics to that.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we go back to the guy, workplace violence. The guy is just there doing his job, working on the guy's air conditioner.
Yeah.
And is shot and killed.
Hmm.
And it goes back to, do we allow people to carry firearms while they're working? You know, I mean, does this AC company allow them to carry firearms so they can protect themselves? That's a
right.
whole big dynamics.
Right.
And there's a lot to that. If I was an employer, you know, making that decision, that's a tough decision to make because there's a lot of liability and a lot of dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
As we said before, guns aren't the solution for everybody
right.
and every solution.
Right.
Gotcha. Well, it's interesting to me because, you know, if he had been carrying,
mm-hmm.
Would this thing have ended quite differently?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if he was the first one shot because he may have been outside, or
right.
was he the last one shot when the guy was leaving?
Right.
And he came to see what was going on.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Or was he in the house? I'll be interesting to hear the dynamics of this one.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and one thing is for sure, the man obviously not in his right mind. I mean, then there was a standoff, wasn't there, after that?
I believe so, on that one, yeah.
So it's crazy. And then you have to, you know, you have to look at were there warning signs? How could it have been avoided? That kind of thing.
Right.
And so when it comes to protecting your home, I think we're at a point now to where people are really going to be looking, especially if you live in a more populated area.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see more people doing security cameras and
sure.
and that type of thing.
And I do a personal protection in the home class, and we talk about stimulus threshold. So you see this guy who you don't know walking up to the house. Well, what do you do? A lot of people will stand there and continue to let him walk up to the house with a bag or a gun. They don't realize I need to take another step.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a threshold stimulus where, you know, somebody that you don't know pulls up in front of your house. Okay, well, you need to make a move. You know, it's mm-hmm. you don't know him. You're not expecting anybody. They start walking him to the driveway, make a move, do something different. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, start shooting or
don't be defensive. Pull a gun.
Right, but go put the phone in your hand.
Right.
You know, they come up and they knock on the door. Okay, well, this isn't right. Now they're trying the door. Okay,
mm-hmm.
now that's where you need to go one more step. Mm-hmm. Call 911 and say, mm-hmm. now somebody's trying to get into my house. They kick in the front door. By that time, you should be on the phone with 911, locked in your bedroom with a tool to protect yourself.
Right.
Now, what do you think about, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'm kind of walking through this scenario with you. So what if you do have an alarm system? Would you recommend setting the alarm off?
I would, yeah. Well, I would arm
first.
It. There's panic alarms. A lot of people have, I think, 90%.
Because that might get them to run away.
Yeah, and a lot of panic alarms are wired to police departments, so the alarm's going off, and
mm-hmm.
something's not right. You know, it's always better to call law enforcement than to take matters into your own hands.
Right.
And then there's a lot of reasons for that. But,
or at least to have them on their way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, and they may not, you know, law enforcement means well. They want to protect people, but the response time, depending on where you live, could be 25 to 30 minutes.
Sure.
Or it could be 2 minutes.
Right.
But people have to have a plan for their house. They've got to think this stuff through.
You know your house better than they do.
Exactly. And you have to, you've got to get the whole family on board. If this happens, kids, this is where you go.
Right.
If we're in this part of the house, this is where you guys go. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do, and this is what I expect you to do.
Right.
And run through. There's a lot of dynamics for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even having a fire drill, something that will take active attack out of it, but having a fire drill for your kids.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get out of this window? What do you do? Where are we going to meet afterwards? But you have to have a personal protection of the home plan, because this stuff is a reality. We saw it yesterday. And I guarantee that doctor and his family would have never thought that they would have been shot and killed in their home.
The
AC guy. The AC guy probably never thought,
sure,
I'm going to die at work today while working on a doctor's home in a nice neighborhood.
When his wife kissed him and sent him on his way.
Right. Exactly.
You know, I'm sure that was the furthest thing from their mind.
People think it won't happen to them, but there's a reality in this world. It's happening. And I always say, it never happens here until it happens here. Now it happened here.
Right.
So we have to be absolutely. It's not living in fear and paranoia. And we've talked about this before. It's not. Don't go around scared in fear, but simply have a plan.
But don't be naive either.
Don't be naive.
Be smart about it.
Live in that condition yellow where you're aware of your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
You're relaxed, but you're ready to jump into condition red anytime.
Right. Sure. Let's switch gears to the cabinet company now. You know, we don't, that story, I mean, I'm looking at it and it's still very vague. We don't know if the man, at least in the article I'm looking at, was let go.
Right.
Did he have a beef with somebody?
Yeah.
You know, when you have these situations happen, and we were talking off the air about HR has their hands tied in so many ways. With a lot of companies, because you know you're afraid of being sued on one hand, but you said if you get sued after a shooting has happened, you're going to get hit a lot harder.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'd rather, if I was HR, I'd rather get sued with a wrongful termination suit than multiple wrongful death or personal injury suits. I guarantee, and we're not really going to know the truth, and the media is not going to put out everything. They just can't. We're not going to know the truth until somebody can go out there and talk to these folks. But I guarantee you there were warning signs that were missed.
And we see it all the time.
Right.
This guy
was bullied. This guy was fired. Mm-hmm. His supervisor.
This guy was either a bully or he was bullied.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
there's going to be some clear warning signs where they're going to look back and say, man, we should have done something with this.
Right.
Looking at the crime scene pictures, the back pictures they always show is there's a tractor trailer backed up and they're unloading. Well, about five or six bays are wide open.
Right.
So that's another thing, is how are we going to allow people to get into our facilities?
Right.
If there's not a truck at those bays, close those doors.
Those doors need to close.
Yeah. So we really need, and every facility is different, but we really need one way in and one way out so we can control people that are moving in and out. That creates a soft target when we have a lot of doors open.
What remind me of what happened in the last couple of years in Roanoke at the railway.
He was terminated. He left, rode his bicycle back several miles, and went right through the guard shack and into the building and started shooting people.
Right.
And they had active shooter training.
Right.
And the chief of police over there had gone on the news and said that a lot of people were saved because of their plan. A lot of people knew what to do and got out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical.
And here's the other thing that I want to say, because I've seen this in so many situations where you have somebody who is unstable.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's talking about it, but nobody's talking about it.
Right. It's not my business. I'm not going to get involved.
It's not my business. Right. I don't want to be responsible for getting anybody fired.
Right.
If you see somebody who is unstable, if you see somebody that you think has the means and the wherewithal to come back and take out vengeance on an entire group of people, I think it is your moral obligation to say something, to at least give HR and the people in charge an opportunity to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Right. And there's so many programs out there, EAP, employee assistance programs. There's so much out there, avenues available to help people like this. If somebody goes off the deep end, you know, and they're starting to act different, we talk about active shooter behavior or developmental process, and you can see these people starting to develop a lot of times into that.
Right.
We're not out to fire them or make them feel unusual.
No,
let's get them some help.
That's right.
Let's get
them help.
You're showing compassion.
It could be something. I did a facility review at a place one time, and they were angry. One guy was very angry that the copy machine had not been fixed.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he went to the copy machine, it's broken. It's not fixed. Well, he's stewing that his bosses are not fixing the machine.
Right.
They brought him together and said, why are you so angry lately? And he said, you guys won't fix the copy machine. They showed him an invoice where they had ordered the part and it's on back order.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So it showed him, okay, my boss is doing
something. Making an effort, too.
It's communication.
Right.
You have to have communication in the workplace.
Sure.
You have to have a way to report both anonymous and in person unusual behavior. And that's a plan.
And usually, you know, these people have other things going on outside
A lot of times they do. And when we do the awareness about the active shooter development, family is involved as well. You set up means so family and friends can call in and say this person's off the deep end.
Right.
Fellow employees need to have a baseline on somebody they work with. You guys know each other very well. You've been working together for a while. If one of you comes in, you're off the baseline for a couple of days, that could be a problem.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you're going to be an active shooter, but if somebody's very friendly and all of a sudden something's happening, whether it's at home, at work, they're off their baseline.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be aware of that. Something's wrong. Let's fix it before it just starts stewing into an attack.
Right. When we come back, we're going to talk about the specific classes that are going to be available, whether you're looking for home protection or you're looking for protection and training for your facility, maybe your church. We're going to talk about that. And we're going to talk about how some of the big corporations are trying to shut down folks like Marco.
Don't like me.
They don't like you. Even though you're trying to keep people safe, it's an interesting story. We'll be back to tell it on The Morning Jam. I'm Janet Rose.
And I'm Mark Lamb.
No need to ask, he's a smooth operator. Smooth operator.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
It's The Morning Jam, 719. Marco, I wanted to play something for you, at least part of it. The ATF gets involved in a lot of this stuff, and even the story down in Texas. And we've got a new guy that Joe Biden has put out there who's kind of whack. And I don't know if you have your headphones over there. You can listen to some of this. And I want our listeners to pick it up as well.
This one are unhinged from reality, to put it gently. So to enforce them, Joe Biden has nominated a man who is unhinged from reality. His name is David Chipman. And he will now run the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, an agency that Joe Biden referred to today as the AFT.
Today, I'm proud to nominate David Chipman to serve as a director of the AFT. David knows AFT well.
David knows AFT well. So who is David Chipman? Well, he's a conspiracy nut, for one thing. In a recent internet post on Reddit, he claimed that the Branch Davidians shot down helicopters during the Waco siege in 1993. No, they didn't. That is a bizarre claim to make from someone who was directly involved in the case, as David Chipman was. But it's worse than that. In 1993, the ATF killed dozens of innocent children, and at least one pregnant woman, for no obvious reason. It's one of the worst things that federal agents have ever done in this country. So if you're taking over the ATF, maybe you could apologize for that. But no, David Chipman lied about it and then attacked the dead. It was not evidence of a generous spirit. It was evidence of a zealot. This is the man Joe Biden just nominated to lead ATF. But it gets worse than that. In a Reddit post, David Chipman suggested that people who fail background checks should be arrested on the spot. Quote, "While at ATF, I conducted studies involving people who failed background checks to determine how many later committed crimes with a gun. Many did. This is a perfect opportunity to arrest people before committing crimes rather than responding after the fact." Arrest people before they commit crimes. That is a brand new concept in American law.
Now, Janet...
But it's not a brand new concept in Hollywood.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
And the Chinese have been doing that for years.
Well, yeah, and he mentions that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Listen to this. This is from a movie Janet just saw. It's just so eerie that she just watched this movie.
Time horizon, 12 minutes.
All right, what he's doing now, we call scrubbing the image, looking for clues as to where the murder is going to happen.
Original running bond brick pattern, streamline early Georgian details. Brick has been repointed.
What that is Tom Cruise anticipating a crime.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
They're the pre-crime squad.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And I was telling my Mark, I said, you know, the funny thing is, in 2001 when this movie came out, it seemed so far-fetched and so sci-fi. You know, you watch that in 2021 and you can 100% see that kind of thing
reality occurring.
Right.
And this is the guy that's been nominated to the ATF.
Well, and he also said in an interview, I saw it yesterday, or I watched it this morning, he also said in an interview that you don't need a gun readily accessible. What you need to do, and this, he should have just said it like that, is put your gun and your ammo behind your tuna and your beef jerky. And if someone breaks in the house, then you go get your gun and your ammo behind your tuna and beef jerky. I mean, that's kind of painting a picture. You know, he's trying to paint a picture of gun owners that's not accurate at
exactly.
all. That's how detached the new leader of this
tuna
AFT
and
is.
Beef jerky.
Yeah, because you're redneck. I mean, rednecks have that. You know,
get your beef jerky.
Tuna is really expensive. So is beef jerky. I don't know. I think that might be a little off the mark.
Right.
But But anyway, just
the whole point is that these are the people that Joe's putting forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if this guy is as whack as Tucker is saying,
I can't wait for Rand Paul to get a hold of him.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, wow.
This is
bizarre.
So, but you know what? It's par for the course with this administration. It really is. Pick the worst person possible and put them in a position of power.
Mm-hmm. So we want to talk about when we bring you in is we want people to know what resources are available.
Uh-huh.
And you work all over the South Side, Roanoke, Lynchburg, and of course you're just a quick drive from any of those places anyway where you're located.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
Either way, but not that you won't come to them. You can certainly do that. But you do all kinds of classes.
Yeah.
So
in 2019, coronavirus kind of shut me down.
As it did everyone.
Yeah. And because businesses weren't up and running, so I wasn't going out. But in 2019, I went to 19 states and trained just at 10,000 people for active shooter response. And so we offer that locally to churches, businesses, schools, any type of facility. I do a facility review. We train all the staff. A lot of people don't understand that, you know, we're sitting here right now at 60 heartbeats a minute. Mm-hmm. But when we start hearing gunfire, we're going to jump up to 185 heartbeats a minute. And we're going to get to, in a nutshell, we're going to get really dumb. We're going to lose a lot of thought process, fine motor skills, complex motor skills. So we have to understand that in order to survive.
Right.
You have to put yourself there. So I'll get HR online with what they need to be doing to prevent an attack, recover from an attack. It's not just recovery and handling. It's how to stop it from happening in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then personal protection in the home. That's a big one, as we saw yesterday.
Yeah. Getting bigger all the time.
Yeah. That's going to keep things like that from happening or give the entire family a more level of awareness on how to protect yourself in the home. And then, of course, concealed permit classes, situational awareness classes for ladies. That's geared for younger ladies, how to handle stalkers, how to handle violent behavior, unwanted advances. It's how to shut it down right in the beginning, both mentally and physically, letting that person know that this is not acceptable behavior.
Right. Before it goes too far.
Before it goes bad. Yeah. So it's, we do a ladies' night. We do gun cleaning classes. But everything I do is, I don't sell guns or ammo. I don't sell defensive gear. It's simply teaching people how to use those tools responsibly.
How to be responsible.
Legally.
And how to be safe.
Yeah. And I stress, you know, during my classes, the last thing you want to do is shoot someone. Although the law may say that, okay, you're justified to shoot them because of what they're doing. If I can retreat, that's what I'm going to do.
Sure.
You can call me any name in the book. I don't care. I don't have to go to court. I don't have to go to the police department, get interviewed.
And you don't have to live
You don't have to live with
the reality that you may be permanently damaged or killed someone.
We want to be trained to protect ourselves. And heaven forbid, if we have to use something in our defense, then we're going to have to do it. But the last thing we want to do, and that's part of being responsible gun ownership, is keeping those firearms secured from unauthorized or untrained hands, and just being responsible gun owners.
All right.
So all the things that we talk about with you are about, you know, safety.
That's all I do is keeping people safe.
That's all you do.
Right. Personal safety.
So that makes this next piece so very interesting.
Unbelievable.
So yesterday you were notified by the overlords at Facebook, that you've been removed permanently.
Yeah, permanently disabled. with no chance of review. I've been cautioned numerous times when I go to post something that this does not meet our community standards because it's racism. And the post that I'm putting up is for an active shooter response training, or it's for situational awareness, empowering women. They don't like that word, empowering women. I'm going to tell you right now, Facebook has sent me so many messages on, you can't post this, you can't post that. And I read through it like, what did I put on there that's racist? Mm-hmm. And a lot of them, I'll ask for an appeal and they immediately approve it. So it's an algorithm. It's a computer
that's
catching
flagging
it.
You.
But I think what happened was I got flagged so many times for not doing anything wrong that now they've just said, forget it. But I can post a picture of Eli, my dog, mm-hmm. and within 15 minutes, I've got 200 and something likes. Mm-hmm. Or if I post a funny video of me cooking, mm-hmm. I've got a bunch of likes. But if I say anything about keeping people safe, three or four people see it. And those people are the ones that like my stuff all the time.
Right.
So they're connected.
So they throttle it back.
So they've been on this for quite some time.
It's probably been about a year and a half. They've been throttling me back. And they're sending me messages, and you can't post this. That doesn't meet our community standards. What? Personal safety?
Which is hysterical that they use the term community standards.
Right.
Because
right.
you're not working at keeping your community safe.
Right.
You're not working at, it's just insane.
I've never dropped the F-bomb or anything, you
right.
know, I'm very careful.
Well, sure. That would be okay, Marco.
Now it would. Maybe I should have. Yeah. But, I'm very careful. I don't go tit-tat with each other, you know,
right.
I don't engage.
Yeah.
I don't. And, and so this is, it's clearly to me, if you look at my Facebook page, it's clearly to me that they've shut me down because I teach personal protection.
Yeah.
They don't want big tech is following Big Brother. They don't want people yeah. safe.
Mm-hmm.
They want people to depend on the government
on them.
For their
exactly.
safety.
Exactly.
Don't protect yourself. Depend on the government.
Mm-hmm. We got a text from Gary. It says, if you come back from a war zone after defending their Second Amendment rights, they'll come back and confiscate your gun. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
I mean, we are in a very precarious time
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And now is not the time for us to throttle back.
Right.
Now is the time for us to step forward and fight harder.
Sure.
One of the things we want to make sure that people are aware of is how they can find out about your
uh-huh.
services. I know you use Facebook a lot, but if they go to t4tactics.com,
yep.
they'll be able to stay in touch with you
yep.
that way.
I've got a podcast
right.
that's on Anchor, and it goes to 9 other podcast stations.
Yeah, pretty much anywhere you get your
yeah.
podcast,
mm-hmm.
if
right.
you type in t4tactics,
right.
you're going to be able to
yeah
to
and that's
that
going to be my voice. That's where I'm going to start speaking out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be a little bit more boisterous on what's going on. And we go back to Facebook. What is the biggest hit for me is most of my Facebook posts are videos about safety and mm-hmm. situation awareness, and ladies, you need to do this, and guys, you need to do this to protect the family. That's what I think I'm going to miss the most, is putting out that free information for people.
Right.
Just to watch a quick 2-minute video to be safe.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. Coming up, we've got Kimberly McBroom. She's going to have our local news stories, and Marco also helps bring you Gary on Guns Saturday. You're
yep.
going to be featured on Gary
yes,
on Guns
we had
this
a great
weekend.
Interview. That was good. We talked about active shooters, so we're going to go deeper into active shooter.
And that's between
that.
1 and 2 on Saturday.
Yep.
And we thank you for that support. You support us, and we want to support you.
Yeah. Thank you for your
right
support
back.
Yeah.
So we'll have that coming up on Saturday morning between 1 and 2 o'clock. We'll have more of your Friday funnies on the way. You're listening to The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark.
Thanks for being here on our Friday show.